John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes the Paschal Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world." So let me stop. In the old covenant, they literally had to do something physical. In the new covenant, Jesus came, and it was like, he's the Passover Lamb. You see? So he fulfilled what the old covenant had. We call this shadow and types, or shadow and reality. Jesus is the reality, and the Passover Lamb that the Jews celebrated was a shadow of what was yet to come. You understand that? Okay, now that I've taught that, I'm going to take that and turn it upside down. And I'm going to tell you this, that when Ezekiel gave a prophecy, "I'll put a new spirit and a new heart within you," it was actually for the days of Christ. It wasn't for that generation. How do I know that? Well, before I get to that, I want to say this. If that's what it was, then really what we have here is a prophecy about the new covenant, which the old covenant has some participation in it, but most of the participation's in the new. So you say, well, how can that be possible? Well, God wrote the Bible through men. It's inspired by the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit saw ahead of time what he was going to do in Christ's time. These are the days that the prophets spoke of. You know, in the first sermon in Acts, the first thing they do is they start using the old covenant to prove that Jesus is the Christ. Well, how can you do that? Because the old covenant is like a modern newspaper for Jesus. Because when you read the old covenant, it's like, huh? And he made his grave with the rich, and on it goes, and he was sacrificed for our sins. It's all in there. Because it's like, you read Isaiah 53, it's almost like a gospel that was written when Jesus was there. Matter of fact, it's even more detailed. How's that possible, folks? But I digress. That's really not what I'm here to talk about tonight. I just want to show you something. But if we look at Hebrews, I could go through so many scriptures to prove my point tonight, and you'd all be asleep by 8:30. And you'd wake up at 10:30, and I'd still be going. But I want to go right now to this. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 8, and it's quoting from a guy, his name is Jeremiah, who lived in the days that Ezekiel gave this prophecy that we just read. And here's what it says in the book of Hebrews, a new covenant book, in other words, written around the time of Jesus, afterwards his death. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 8. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel again," the house of Israel. "I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Ezekiel, I want to remind you what Ezekiel said. "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to fulfill my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances." In other words, this is talking about the same thing. Let's read a bit more. "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of them his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them." This is the privilege of the new covenant community. You can all know the Lord. Matter of fact, I don't want anybody here not to know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, I want you to know the Lord. Because this is the day the Lord has made where we all know him. From the least to the greatest. Why are we allowed to know him thus? "For I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and to your sins, to your lawless deeds," the breaking of the commandments, the Ten Commandments too. "And I will remember them no more." Reverend Wendy said, "Did you know that God casts our sins as far as the east is from the west? That's pretty far away. Try to find them now." We can be happy tonight if we just know that he loves us that much. If we know that he died so that we could have him thus. But then I'm getting into my next part, which we're going to get right into. But all I want to say is this. I'm not here to do a big Bible study and prove a big point. I went online and looked at the commentaries, and they were horrid. Horrid! In terms of understanding Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, chapter 34, chapter 35. And that's because these days, the church is been caught up with something since the 1800s. It has to do with a thing called premillennialism, where it's all going to literally happen again, and Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom in the Middle East, and the sacrifices are going to be redone. It makes no sense, though, because the one great sacrifice has been given. So I'm willing to sit here and preach something different against the tide of a lot of Christianity because we're getting distracted with it sometimes, you know. We need to just get our focus on Calvary. We don't want anything. Listen, all the sacrifices, were they the reality or were they the shadow? You tell me. Thank you. Who's the reality? Is Jesus going to be sacrificed again in the Middle East? Then don't worry about it. It ain't happening. There's no redoing of sacrifices. And there's a reason that God shut it down for 2,000 years plus. To help us focus on the real sacrifice. This morning we heard about the sovereignty of God. Is that not the sovereignty of God? That he would preserve this nation for so long? Praise God for the Jews. He would preserve them this long, and yet he would not preserve the sacrifice. In like happening literally. So that we could focus on the true sacrifice. The one who spread his arms out and said, "It is finished." And now I want to get to the point tonight. He's going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Let's talk about it. How does he do that? Well, Haley prayed a prayer with me not that long ago. She opened up her heart and just asked Jesus to come in. Zach prayed a prayer like that a couple of weeks ago. That's the beginning, hopefully, for us. To come to Jesus and believe in him, and then he starts to do something on the inside. Amen? Do you know what he does? He puts the Spirit within us. And the Spirit within us starts to get excited about things that you wouldn't normally get excited about. What? What do you mean? How can I go into church and sit there for 45 minutes and an hour and just sit there and listen to people sing songs? Why would I do something like that? Because I'll tell you why. It will be boring if the Spirit of God doesn't come into you. Eh, Pastor? We need that. We need the Holy Ghost to come into us and grip us and show us what this is all about. And that's what the Lord promised. And so really, when he was saying about this promise to Israel, and there's more than one kind of Israel, folks. There's a spiritual Israel and there's a natural Israel. And when he was coming, he's going to gather people from all nations and every tribe and tongue and language. Read Revelation. And they're going to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And they're going to rejoice in heaven forever. Praise God. That's what he's doing. Gathering all the nations. Hallelujah. Unto the throne of the Lamb of God, where he was slain for our sin, where he is the center of attention, where he gets the glory that he deserved from the Garden of Eden. But now it's going to happen in reality. You're going to get something in your soul that's going to burn like a fire. And this fire is going to take the dross around you, the distractions of your life, and it's going to start chuck them in. Let them burn. So that it can be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus that you want. It's going to be Jesus that starts turning you on instead of all the things of this earth. But guess what? The Lord's asking for you and me to partake of the barn burning. If he's starting a fire and he's going to put things in the fire from our life so that he can be the center, the stuff that's distracting us and the broken furniture that we want to still sit on that isn't good for our back. Whatever it is, he wants us to take it and chuck it. You know what? He'll take some of it and do it for you. Trust me. Sorry to tell you that. But other times, you know what he's going to say? John, he's going to say, can you grab that side of the sofa and help me? I got to bring this to the back. It's going in the fire. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? We all can partake of our holiness, of the fact that God wants to make us a holy people. We all can partake. And you know, let's just read that verse for a second here, because I am freelancing some of this as we go, as I feel led. But if we read, let me find this. It says right here, I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. God wants us to show some care tonight. You said, well, I have been caring. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you that you care. Let's keep caring. Let's keep on. Let's not lose heart. Let's not, listen, this sermon is really for the middle of the week. This sermon is when you're alone. This sermon is how you're doing when you're on your own. This sermon is about, oh God, I'm tempted. But Lord, you said you're going to put your spirit within me. Lord, you said you're going to give me new desires. That's what he means. A new heart, a new spirit means you're going to get new desires. And it starts, it does start, as Haley and as Zach have done recently, it starts when we ask the Lord to come into our heart. But he causes us to be born of his spirit. And Romans 8, 6, 15 to 17 talks about that. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, this world will put you into fear. And systems of the world and systems of religiosity of churches will put you into fear. But that's not God.